First of all, Kyle and I did not coordinate our shirts before we came. But it seems like we might have. There's a slide slow. So I'm going to talk about improving reporting and IIS best coverage by conducting a VOC accountability through an IIS, the New York City experience. I'd like to also recognize the co-presenters here, or authors. Three of them are here, Melissa Nicol-Hope, Amy Matroka, who helped a lot on implementing this program, and then Dr. Zucker, who helped a lot on these slides and on the presentation and on the analysis, and particularly Vicky Papaduka, who helped them much on preparing the presentation. So first of all, we'll start with a little background on New York City. As many of you know, there's 8.2 million people in the city of New York, with an annual birth cohort of 125,000. There's a high mobility of the population within the city. We have approximately 1,800 immunizing sites, which comprise 5,000 practitioners. And in the 2006 NIS coverage rate, the 431331, was 72%. In New York, the registry is called the Citywide Immunization Registry, or CIR. And since 1997, it's been mandated for providers to report all immunizations for up to 8 years old, and that was changed in 2005, so now it's up to 19 years old. And there are 3.3 million records in our registry with over 33 million events, and the birth certificates are loaded weekly from our vital statistics, so which guarantees us of having every child born in New York City is in our registry. Background on the VFC program in New York. Approximately 75% of the children receive vaccines from VFC, which includes the state CHIP program. The program is a non-universal program. In 2007, 3.3 million vaccines were distributed by VFC to private practices, hospitals, and clinics. Before starting this project, accountability for the VFC vaccines was done by using, this is an example of the form we had used. Many of you may have seen this, similar forms are used throughout the country. And it was required for VFC providers to fax this form out in order to receive additional doses of vaccines. And then they would need to fax it and complete it and send it to the VFC program. The data on this was self-reported by the provider of aggregate doses. And our program had problems with this form because it was very time-consuming for the provider to complete. It was time consuming for the VFC staff to manually enter this data into the VACMAN database. And the data was also non-verifiable since these are aggregate reports. So we could not do a programmatic audit of this data and did not know the validity of the data we were receiving. And additionally, it was a duplicate process. As I mentioned, it was required for them to report to the registry. So to add them to report to basically the same doses was duplicate and wasting of resources. So we moved to a CIR-generated doses administered report, which is a report that compares the number of doses reported to the CIR to the number of doses distributed by the VFC program during the same period of time. So in order to implement this program, we did it in a stepwise process. In January of 2006, we notified the providers that effective September 1st, there'd be a policy change that the provider-generated DAR would no longer be accepted, and that they would be required to report at least 90% of the doses that they receive from VFC, and they were required to report them to the CIR. And beginning in June 2006, we started sending out the CIR-generated DAR to each provider. We would mail them out to the provider so they knew where they stood on this measure. This is the algorithm we developed for providers the VFC program implemented, that if a provider was reporting 80%, we would approve 100% of the order and the other are there as well. So I'm going to show you a little results of like where we were at the beginning of the program. This is in June 2006, basically before we started implementing the program. What this shows is on the left here is this is the percentage of a provider's, like 20% of the providers reported 90% of their doses to the registry. And on the right, you can see that the bars are pretty basically flat, so that 15% report 10% or less here on the right. So, but then if we move down to June 2007, we can see that the reporting to the registry is getting better and better, and there's more VFC accountability of the vaccines. So now, like in June 2007, we were at approaching 35% that were reporting 90% or better. Now this is where we're at currently in February 2008, where we have basically almost 45% are at 90%. And you see that there's many, like another 15% that are between 80 and 90, and then we have another 10. So about 70% are above 70% accounting for the vaccines. And on the right, you can see there's still some providers that are not reporting. These tend to be providers that are new to the VFC program and also very small providers. So that it does not account for that many of the VFC vaccines. And we can see that additionally through this slide. When we look at an aggregate New York City DAR, and this is where we take, at the beginning of the project, we were at 74%, and now we're at 95%. What an aggregate New York City DAR is that we take how many doses were distributed by the VFC program over the past year, and currently we're like that's 2.6 million doses. Oops, 2.6 million doses, and 2.5 million of them were reported to our registry, resulting in a 95% DAR. And this is what effect this has had on our registry in terms of reporting. The blue bars, this is data from 1998 to last year, 2007. The blue bars are the reporting for the children that are 8 years or less than 8 years of age. And we look at this because of those health code changes I mentioned in August of 2005. And you can see that there was a steady increase from 2001 to 2005 on the blue bars from 1.9 million to 2.4 million in 2005. But then when we implemented this program, we went from 2.4 million to 4.4, just a little slightly over 4 million of the same age group. So there was a 70% increase by implementing this program. And you can see we're also accounting for the adolescent vaccines now. Like in 2005 to 2006, there's a vast increase because of the health code change, but there's also a pretty big increase from 2006 to 2007 because of the additional adolescent vaccines and the Gardasil vaccine. So we're accounting for those doses of vaccines in our registry as well. So this is basically the same as the last bar, but just from January 2005 to the current, this is the blue bar and the two light blue bars combined, the light blue and the dark blue combined. And you can kind of see like month by month, this shows you the effect. Different things happen. Like one is the health code change in August of 2005. You can see like after that, there was a big increase of reporting to our registry. And then we went back, and this is also the flu season as well, in November. So there's a big spike there. And then like we sent out the letter in Jan 2006, and we started seeing much more reporting after that time. And then the policy went into effect in September 2006, and there was a big spike in reporting. And then our system couldn't handle all this reporting all the time. It got really, really, overloaded. Went on a break. So then there was a slight backlog. The system was still up. It was just we couldn't load all the batch files. We were still processing 500,000 immunizations a month. But then there was a slight backlog occurred. So that's the big spike that happened there. And then after the backlog, we went back to around 500,000. And now we can see we're almost at 550,000 a month coming into our registry, which is a big increase from where we were before that. And we're also getting a higher quality of data. This is one example of where we're capturing the VFC eligibility as well and a better. I want to focus on the blue line. The blue line is the not eligible or the missing data. We weren't really focusing on them reporting that we accept data with the missing VFC eligibility. In the beginning of the project was at 55%, and now we're below 20%. So, and conversely, the VFC eligible is going up as much as all the other lines are going up. And then through this, now I'm going to move to up-to-date coverage assessment. Right? By us having higher quality data and more data, like we now, through this VFC, through the vaccine accountability methods, we are able to have a better ability to measure up-to-date coverage through our registry, both on a IIS level and then at a provider level. As I mentioned before, we've been sending out feedback to the providers. We've been since
June of 2006, we were sending providers the doses administered report. And for the last year, we also been including the provider's up-to-date coverage rate as measured by the registry. So this is an example of one of these letters, data that we would send to the providers to tell them where they're at. And we're also including the last four reports. So this, you can see, this provider is the number of two-year-olds. These are up-to-dates for 24 to 35 months. Oh, it's the 431331. So this provider had 97 two-year-olds, according to our registry, with an up-to-date of 44%. And now they can see that they increased their coverage rate to 76%. And then they also have 108 providers. So we're sending this, feeding the information that we have back to the providers is our some of the what we're able to do with having the higher quality of data. And this is measuring up-to-date coverage on an IIS level. And you can see, like, we've been measuring this since May of 2006, and up-to-date coverage rate was 34% at that time. And this is, and now we're currently in the last of May, or February 29th, is at 47%. And what these are, like, another important part here is to look at, and other than just the percentage, is also the N, which is the number of children that we're able to find. Like, so in this program, the up-to-date coverage, we include all children that have an immunization within the series after 1 year of age. So at the beginning, we had 89,000 children. So now we're around 100,000 children. So we have more children in our registry, and which is close to the 99,000, 100,000 is close to the census. So we're better to able to, of course, the 47%, we want to bring that higher, but we can see that there's a big improvement. We're also measuring up-to-date coverage rates for the 10 and 12 months. This is done on a slightly different, this is done by a random sample of 400 children, and we're doing three. So those are the series. So you can see that as well. There's from 33% in Jan 2007, and currently we're at 53% for this younger cohort of children. In conclusion, I want to say that we have an improved vaccine accountability method. It's reduced paperwork for the provider and for the VFC staff. We've been able to sustain an improvement in reporting to the registry. We increased by 70% from 2005 to 2006. And this increased ability allows us to measure the up-to-date coverage via the IIS, which allows us the valuable feedback to the providers. And we have also a feeling that we're gonna have increased coverage, but measured by the NIS. And for our future developments, we plan that feedback to the providers, we're kind of calling it report card to the providers now. So we plan to include adolescent coverage as well, as there are more adolescent vaccines, and we want to give that information back to the providers and measure that to the providers so they can see where their coverage is. And we're planning on enhancing our web app so that providers can generate up-to-date coverage rates themselves at any given time. And then they can also generate a list of the children that are not up to date, so they can find these children and we call them and get them back into the practice to vaccinate them. And we're also planning on adding the VFC functions to our registry, which would include vaccine ordering, and which would allow us to have a better accountability of the vaccine lots for other providers, because that we could force load them into our IIS. And we would be able to do vaccine management, including vaccine inventory, and enroll VFC providers through our registry as well. That's it. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Do we have any specific questions for Mike? Yes.
Differentiate, um, do you, talked about they have to report it when it goes to the minister, but how do you know that it's not privately purchased vaccine? Or is it
through the, like, right, so it's like through that vaccine, we have a field, the vaccine eligibility field. So we include, like, of being reported, we disclude what they say are private purchased vaccines. So there's a, we actually come up with a term with potentially eligible. So the missing, it was very important for us to get down the missing down to a more manageable level. When it was in the beginning, it was 55%. Now we're like under 20% of the missing. So the missing we include as either. And in New York, since the majority of the vaccine is VFC vaccine anyways, because like it's almost a one-to-one relationship of the missing going down and the VFC eligible going up. So we're not, you know, terribly, but we do, and we probably will eventually move to the not including any of, you know, making them as that is a required field and taking that potentially eligible figure out. But it's very difficult for some of the systems that are that send us batch files to grab that field and come and send that field to us. So we didn't want to like put that on top of them because we don't want to like discount the immunizations they're giving us. So.
The second question, if I could, we're struggling a little bit. You talked about if a practice meets 90%, then you're going to give them all their vaccine, right? And we're struggling with that limit right now. If we're trying to do a better accountability system in our registry, and the piece that we're really struggling with is CDC says you can have up to a 5% wastage rate, and yet it's really hard to come within that 5% when you're trying to account for it. So is that 90% realistic?
Well, we, you know, in practice, we went down to 80%. So it is a difficult, but many providers do like get. I mean, it is realistic. I feel is that you can providers can report, you know, 90%. Yes, I mean there's like one of the important things is also is the you need to like I have the smoothing part of the distributing of the vaccine. Like if they get orders a lot at one time and different like less at a different time, like it'll mess up your denominator. So like some providers will, like I'm having work with the VFC program to so that they order the same amount throughout the year, you know, and that's a kind of a goal of the VFC program to have not as many vaccines in the refrigerator, because if they order a lot, that means they have a lot of vaccines in the refrigerator, and there's a much greater chance of wastage because it could expire, or if there's a, you know, if they have a power shortage, all that vaccine will be wasted. So that's another, you know, like side of, you know, you can get a number, but like a lot of things affect that number.
Hey, Mike, moving from provider-generated reports to register-generated reports is a big change, and I think a good change. But what kind of feedback or pushback did you get from providers, especially from providers who were not reporting consistently to the registry?
Well, one of the things we did, like before we started this project, you know, process, is we have a childhood coalition within the city, so we you know, brought this through the childhood coalition, and like that was like they thought it was a good idea because they feel as though everybody should report, and when we like some providers don't want to, you know, it's a burden for them to report, but it's a state mandate. The health code requires them to report, so they can't really say they don't want to report because, you know, there's no reason for them not to report. So then they could leave the VFC program, or, you know, and then, you know, dodge the state mandate. But they have, you know, so they really, nobody really says they are not going to do it at the end because they're mandated to report. So luckily, you know, that's one of the things that we are able to do. We weren't able to do this before the health code changed up to 8 years old. But now that, you know, the health code matches what VFC gives out. So we're able to do it. So. And Melissa has a response to that as well.
And
I guess that, are you saying that, well, did you lose any providers, VFC providers, as a result of implementing that strategy? No?
I mean, I like one last thing is that having the more full registry, this is just like it's so much beneficial to all the doctors. I think is that there's just chance. I'm sure everybody's aware of this, but the chance of like a doctor coming into the registry and now finding a patient that their records are already there is so much higher. So the value of the registry, it's kind of like a rising boat, somebody once said, rising water rises all ships or something like that, or something like that. So like that's like, I kind of feel like that this is like that type of thing.